everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Cornucopia of Tales and Tellers. This week, we have decided to get quite creative. So Simona and myself have decided to tell a story from the different point of view of some character or even inanimate object. So these are two well-known stories you will hear. Simona is telling the tale of Nasruddin and his pot. I'm telling the tale of Little Red Riding Hood, but we're both telling it from the point of view of either the pot or an apple in the story. So Simona has the pot and I've called it Arthur's Apples. It's the entire story from the point of view of an apple. See what you think. Let us know what you think. And get in touch if you have any other storytelling challenges you would like us to take part in. We found this was good crack and it was a bit of fun. So see what you think. Here is Arthur's Apples and the Pot from the point of view of the pot. Enjoy. Oh, it's great, this. Just another lovely day being attached to my tree with the sun out and the wind blowing through the leaves nearby. The tree I'm attached to, by the way, is called Albert. He doesn't talk very much, but when he does, he's quite nice. I have this wonderfully red and green shiny coat on me these days. I look incredibly pretty. I am what those human people call an apple. But then something happened the other day that I think is worth talking about. I was minding my own business, growing my juiciness, as I do. And this little girl came along the path beside me. Very strange. Wearing a little red coat and looking quite hungry, I might say, because she spotted me and decided to pluck me from Albert. Albert thought this was great, as there could be the chance of more apple trees around the forest. I thought, well, at least I'll be delicious before I plant my seeds somewhere. So this little girl seemed quite happy to put me into her basket, until one of those hairy things approached her in the forest. I think the humans call them wolves. So they had a little conversation, wasn't quite sure what, because I don't speak German, and she, for some reason, handed me to the wolf. Sorry, little girl, but wolves are carnivores. I am not appealing to them. But anyway, the wolf thought this was great. He was very thankful. And they both went on their separate ways, which so happened to be in the same direction. But the wolf was going much, much faster than the little girl. Anyway, sometime later, the wolf landed upon this little cottage, quite delightfully looking, in the middle of the forest. He saunters in and leaves me on the kitchen table. So I was watching him over the rest of the kitchen table, thinking I'm probably going to turn into a crumble soon, maybe with a bit of custard. Ooh, a bit of custard, that'd be nice. Anyway, there was another occupant in the house, a bit of an older one, you know. Too many winters, I think she'd had. But anyway, that didn't stop the wolf. He was quite peckish and devoured her quite quickly. And then, since he'd had an entire OAP, he decided to get into the bed, have a bit of a siesta. A couple of minutes later happened to go by when that little girl showed up again, knocking on the door. She saunters in, leaves her little red coat on the table, and walks on over to the bed, only to spot the wolf. Fair enough. But then they get into a conversation again. I'm not too sure if the little girl had her glasses on or otherwise. She did happen to ask the wolf what big eyes he had, what big nose he had, and seemed to confuse it with the previous occupant. If you're confusing an old age pensioner with a wolf, you're probably not the brightest little girl. This little girl so happened to not be that bright, as she became the second dish for the wolf's meal that day. So after he gobbled her down, I'm still sitting on the kitchen table thinking, am I getting custard at all? Am I being cut into a crumble here? Anyway, he had ate so much, he had another long nap. That afternoon, there was another fella come up. Now, the other fella is the mortal enemy of all trees. He walked in with a tree-chopping device. We do not like these people. But he walked in and spotted the wolf. Now, automatically, he was angrier at the wolf than he was me. After all, I'm just an apple. So he battered the wolf about the head and decided to slice open its rather huge belly, to which, to everyone's surprise, the old age pensioner and the little girl walked out. Quite goopy, but she seemed to be able to do the crossword still. So they buried the wolf's corpse in the front garden, probably as a warning to other wolves in the area if they fancied eating the elderly. And I'm still sitting here on the kitchen table. They had pork for dinner that night, but it doesn't look like they wanted any dessert after their day they had. Has anybody got custard? That'd be nice.
One day, there was a knock at the door, and the pot master went to open the door. It was his neighbour, Nasruddin. The pot could hear voices in the distance, but the pot could not hear what they were saying. And then the pot's master came and grabbed the pot and brought it to Nasruddin. Nasruddin brought the pot home and he cooked in the pot. The pot was happy to be used because, well, it was nice to have her bottom a bit warm from time to time. Her master never used her, and so she would stay on the shelf, dusty and cold. Nasruddin threw a party with the food he had cooked in her, and everybody loved the food. The pot was proud of herself and proud of the fact that everybody loved her food. But the morning after the party, Nasruddin washed the pot. And then he took another pot and put it inside her. The pot was a bit unsure of what was going on, but, well, she was happy that everybody had loved her food, and so she didn't complain while Nasruddin brought her back to her master's house. And then Nasruddin knocked at the door, and the two men spoke for a while. But then, her master noticed the little pot inside her. Nasruddin, he said, why is there a small pot inside a big pot? Good question, thought the pot. Well, said Nasruddin, well, you know, while I was cooking, your big pot gave birth to a small pot. So that small pot is the big pot's son. What? Thought the big pot. What? I didn't give birth to any small pot. What is going on here? Oh, said the pot's master. Oh, thank you, Nasruddin. And so he shut the door and he put the two pots back on the shelf happily. And the big pot wondered, what the hell is going on here? I mean, why did Nasruddin give me back to my master and then told a lie about the small pot? I just don't understand. But, well, the pot was happy and she soon stopped thinking about the small pot and forgot all about it. But then, a few days later, there was a knock at the door. The pot's master opened the door, and there was Nasruddin again. And the pot once again couldn't hear what was going on, but ooh, maybe this was her time to go and cook another delicious meal that everybody would appreciate. And so it was, because her master came to her, grabbed her, and brought her back to Nasruddin. And so the pot happily went to Nasruddin's house again, where he cooked food in her and threw another party with her food. And then everybody loved her food. And the pot was really proud of herself. The following morning, Nasruddin washed her. But to her surprise, he didn't bring her back to her master. Something's going on here, she thought. But well, she was still very proud of herself, and she soon forgot about it. But one day passed, and Nasruddin didn't go back to her master's house. Another day passed, and Nasruddin didn't go back to her master's house. And a third day passed, and Nasruddin didn't go back to her master's house, but soon there was a knock at the door, and Nasruddin opened the door, and in the distance, the pot could see her master. Her master was angry. "Give me back my big pot!" he shouted at Nasruddin. But Nasruddin kept calm. "Oh, I'm sorry, neighbor. I'm really, really sorry. I can't give you back your big pot because your big pot died." "What?" thought the pot. "Died? I am here. What? What is he saying? This doesn't make any sense at all." "Don't be stupid, Nasruddin. Don't be stupid. Don't tell me lies," continued the pot's master. "Give me back my pot because pots can't die." "Well," said Nasruddin, "you believed me when I told you that your big pot had a baby. Now please believe me if I tell you that your big pot died. Goodbye." And Nasruddin slammed the door. And when he turned around, the pot could see that Nasruddin was laughing. And soon the pot understood what was going on. "Ah, clever Nasruddin," she thought. And she was sad about her master. But at the same time, well, maybe Nasruddin would use her from time to time and not let her there with dust in her. She would feel her bottom warm from time to time. And the pot felt contented.